name is Autumn Akery. I'm a PhD student at Texas Tech University. This is my first semester as a PhD student, so I am presenting my research that I did as a master's student at Louisiana State University on the soil properties response to wheat and corn stubble residue management in Louisiana. So crop residue are materials left in an agricultural field after the crop has been harvested. This can be stalk, stem, leaves, seed pods. So crop residue has many benefits for the soil when it's left on the surface. It can protect the soil from wind and water erosion. It can also sustain soil organic matter and conserve soil moisture by reducing water vapor. And it's the main source of soil carbon in agricultural systems. Crop residue provides a habitat and an energy source for soil organisms. Soil microorganisms are important in soil fertility because they cycle nutrients by decomposing soil organic matter. And this increases the availability of mineral nutrients to plants and can produce enzymes for carbon and nitrogen cycling, such as beta-glucosidase and NAGase are the enzymes that I will be looking at today. And beta-glucosidase decomposes the labile fraction of plant tissue, which is involved in carbon cycling, and NAGase catalyzes the hydrolysis of chitin, which is involved in the carbon and nitrogen cycling. I chose wheat stubble and corn stubble residue because they are widely used in agriculture in Louisiana. Wheat stubble residue and corn stubble residue both have a high C-to-N ratio of greater than 25:1, so they take a long time to decay. But wheat stubble residue is a lighter residue than corn, so it has the potential to decay more quickly than corn, as corn is very heavy. It is important to manage crop residue because residue can accumulate on the soil surface and become too thick, which plant machinery may not be able to penetrate if it is too thick. Also, there can be an incidence for disease if soil is wet for a long period of time, and it can also delay the spring warming and drying, especially with heavy residue such as corn. And the effects of the crop residue on different soil properties depends on how the crop residue is managed. For this study, we chose no-till, conventional tillage, and prescribed fire. No-till leaves the crop residue undisturbed on the soil surface, so it does protect against erosion and controls the soil moisture and sustains the soil organic matter. There's also an abundance of soil microorganisms such as fungi, bacteria, AMF, and actinomycetes that increase the enzyme activity, but there's also that residue accumulation problem, which makes the soil stay cooler until a little later into the spring. Tillage incorporates the crop residue into the soil, but it also leaves the soil surface bare, and so that can leave the soil susceptible to erosion. It also decreases the soil organic matter and destroys the soil structure. Tilled soil has a higher leaching rate, so it can reduce the inorganic nitrogen and decrease microbial activity. Prescribed fire can control the excess crop residue and provide an ease of tillage and planting and decrease the incidence of disease. Prescribed fire can decompose soil organic matter, which releases plant nutrients. Prescribed fire has also been shown to increase nitrification rates, which will increase the inorganic nitrogen in the soil, increasing soil microorganism activity and stimulating soil enzyme activity. There also can be air quality problems with prescribed fire, such as reduced visibility. Also, the particulate emissions can cause different human health effects, and wind speed and direction must be considered when prescribing a fire. If the wind is too high, the fire can spread too rapidly and become too intense, but there also needs to be enough wind in order to give the fire direction. The objectives of the study were to determine the impacts of prescribed fire, no-till, and tilled on soil chemical and biological properties in wheat stubble and corn stubble. My hypothesis was that prescribed fire will enhance soil fertility in the different corn stubble and wheat stubble residues by improving the different soil properties relative to no-till and tilled. This study was conducted on the Macon Ridge Research Station in Winnsboro, Louisiana. The average precipitation is 1,451 millimeters, and the average temperature is 24 degrees Celsius for the high and 11 degrees Celsius for the low. The wheat stubble and corn stubble residue fields were separated into conventionally tilled, no-tilled, and prescribed fire sections. The soil type was a Giger-Gilbert complex, which is a silt loam. This is a timeline of the field collection for the different fields. For weed stubble residue, samples were collected in 2014 and 2015 at 0 hours, which is pre-management, 1 hour post-management, 24 hours, 1 month, which is the 720 hours, and 6 months, which is the 4,320 hours. There was also additional samples collected in 2015, 6 hours, and 168 hours post-management, and that is 1 week. And soybeans were planted 2 weeks after the management practices. For corn stubble residue, samples were collected pre-management and at 1 hour, 6 hours, 24 hours, 1 month, and 6 months post-management. Corn was planted 24 hours post-management and fertilizer was applied 2 weeks after. And since the soybeans were planted and corn was planted and fertilizer was applied for 1 month and 6 months results, it could be an effect of the planting and the fertilizer and not an effect of the treatment. So I am mainly focusing on the results that take place before any planting or fertilizer was applied. For sample processing and analysis, soil organic matter was measured as percent loss on ignition. Inorganic nitrogen was measured using a 2-molar KCl extraction. Soil enzyme activity, I looked at beta-glucosidase and NAGase, and that was assessed via the p-nitrophenol method. And the soil microbial community structure was determined using FAMES as biomarkers. And the first results are for wheat stubble residue. This is soil organic matter. Prescribed fire is represented by the green columns. No-till is represented by blue columns. And tillage is represented by the yellow columns. The time is on the x-axis in hours, and it's from pre-management up to 6 months post-management. And on the y-axis is soil organic matter measured as percent loss on ignition. The different uppercase letters represent significant differences within one treatment over time, and then different lowercase letters represent the significant differences within one time in between treatments, and this is consistent throughout the presentation. So for soil organic matter and wheat stubble residue, there was an increase 24 hours post-prescribed fire, but then it decreased to pre-fire levels 1 week after. So it was a very short-term increase for soil organic matter. Nitrate nitrogen increased in wheat stubble residue in prescribed fire relative to the no-till and the tilled. Ammonium nitrogen in wheat stubble residue increased in tilled and prescribed fire 24 hours post-management, but then it was reduced 1 week after, so again, just a short-term increase. Beta-glucosidase activity was lowest in the tilled soil and were similar in prescribed fire and no-till. There was also a time effect for beta-glucosidase activity. For NAGase activity, there was a decrease 1 week after the fire and after till. And I used the distance-based redundancy analysis plot to determine microbial community structure of the gram-negative actinomycetes, total bacteria, gram-positive, arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, fungi bacteria ratio, and saprophytic fungi. The black circles represent prescribed fire. The no-till is represented by the red circles, and the green upside-down triangles are represented by tilled. So there was a mixture of microorganisms for the no-till, while prescribed fire shifted the microbial communities to a more gram-negative and actinomycetes and total bacteria. And the tilled shifted the microbial communities to more saprophytic fungi and fungi-bacteria ratio. Microbial communities also shifted over time in the wheat stubble residue. 0 hours or pre-management is represented by black circles, 1 hour are the red circles, and 24 hours are the green upside-down triangles. 1 week is the yellow triangles, and 1 month is the blue squares. So at pre-management and 1 hour after, there seems to be an abundance of the gram-negative, saprophytic fungi, fungi-bacteria ratio, and then there was a shift 24 hours post-management to arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, and then it shifted to gram-positive bacteria, and then total bacteria at 1 month. So for the corn stubble residue, the soil organic matter increased 1 hour after the fire and stayed higher than pre-fire levels throughout. Okay. So nitrate nitrogen, there was only a time effect, so there was no treatment effect for nitrate nitrogen. Ammonium nitrogen increased 24 hours post-tillage. Beta-glucosidase activity decreased 6 hours after the fire, but then it recovered to pre-fire levels 24 hours after the fire. Now, guys, there was no treatment effect. There was only a time effect. And in core sulfur residue, the microbial communities did shift over time in all management. However, my data points are shifting vertically and the vectors are horizontal, which means there's something else that's describing this shift and not the fatty acid profiles that I tested for. However, you can see that for no-till, which is the blue ellipses, it is shifting more towards saprophytic fungi, gram-negative, and tilled seems to be shifting to a mixture, and prescribed fire, it seems to be shifting to total bacteria. However, the shift cannot be fully described by the fatty acid profiles that I tested. So in conclusion, my hypothesis was that prescribed fire would increase these different soil properties compared to no-till and tilled. And in wheat stubble residue, it did increase soil organic matter and ammonium nitrogen, but it was only very short term. And it did increase nitrate nitrogen. And it increased beta-glucosidase activity relative to till, but it was similar to no-till, and it did not increase NAGase activity. For corn stubble residue, prescribed fire did increase soil organic matter over time, but it did not increase inorganic nitrogen or beta-glucosidase or NAGase activity. And with that, I thank you, and I will take any questions. We didn't look at weather data, but that would be something to look at for sure in the future. Based off of this, prescribed fire and no-till had similar results in a lot of the methods that we tested. Best, I would say it depends, because for wheat stubble residue, prescribed fire did show to increase the nitrate nitrogen. So if the field needed more nitrogen, maybe recommend the prescribed fire. But for soil organic matter and all these other things that we tested for, it really wasn't any different. It didn't decrease, and so I would say that if you want to prescribe a fire and wheat stubble residue, it would increase the nitrate. For corn stubble residue, if you want more organic matter, then I would recommend prescribed fire. Other than that, it didn't increase anything. So. I would say it depends. It depends on the climate that you want, that you're burning in, because of different weather and wind and things like that. So I would say it depends on where you're burning. Okay. Right, and different states have different laws on burning, so it depends on the state as well. Thank you. We believe it was char for the prescribed fire, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that a lot, of why it didn't stay higher, and it could have been time of day for sampling. It could have been the wheat stubble that's just lighter than the corn. But yeah, we talked about that a lot, of why it didn't stay higher, and it was just a 24-hour increase, and that was it. We were sampling 0 to 2.5 centimeter depth. No, we pushed all the surface residue aside and just took to 2.5 centimeters of soil.
Thank you.